it's rare just to give $23 million to a company and just because it's like, oh, okay, well, you're okay, yeah. But you never know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the brother of the president. You just never know with that stuff. So, but I'm not going to speculate.
No. I just saw.
What I will say is that I just blogged about today. It's actually the top story on the site right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the fact that Bush is delegating these types of decisions to his top advisors, and they're not even really being run past him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's just saying, "You have my legislative branch, let's try to get this debt in, you know, control. Let's look at the ports deal. Let's make sure that our borders are more, you know, more secure. Let's look at these things that we need to be looking at. Let's look at education. Let's look at healthcare." And it just seems like that all that stuff is being deferred to people underneath the president, and he doesn't really even care about it.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we'll let you go. At dinner for a segment with you.
Yeah, hey, it was good.
Thank you.
Good being back, and I hope to
be on in 2 weeks.
Yes.
All right.
I hope to be on in 2 weeks.
Very good. Justin,
I was just going to say, take it easy, and I hope that you enjoyed the last episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Absolutely. We're talking about that the whole next hour, so we hope you stay tuned.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you very much.
Later. Bye.
Bye. And that was Justin from the Dunkelvins Centrist Political Blog. And in our second hour, we'll go all Galactica on your ass. No. we'll have Trapper Markells from the BattlestarBlog.com. And then Koenig Rules will wrap up our review with a review of the episode, as well as the Doctor Who season premiere. So, and subject to discussion, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Talk to you then.
Are you the answer? I the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And once again, it's Tuesday in Las Vegas. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the program live. And thank you, everybody for podcasting the program. And we're going to delve into our Battlestar Galactica review. Ooh, there you go. And well, first, our first guest tonight will be Trapper Markells from BattlestarBlog.com. In just a moment, we play the music out a little bit. Trapper, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am, Sean.
There you go.
Me back.
There you go. You sound very good. We were concerned that the last time he was on, he said he sounded a little soft, but you sound pretty good tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Very good. And welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Now, first of all, what'd you think of the season finale? Lay Down Your Burdens, Part 2. What'd you think? I'm on your blog now. You look like you're a little questionable about the finale, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I think the last half of the second season was had some rocky moments, but I mean, I think the part two of Lay Down Your Burdens, I don't know, they really kind of took it in a direction that I don't think anybody was expecting, you know, to jump forward so far ahead into the show. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. It really, really caught me by surprise, and I don't know, I think it kind of just it reignited my excitement for the show, and I really can't look forward more to coming back for season three.
Exactly. I said that before, and I was a little worried about it as well, because I heard it was like the finale is kind of be like the Bobby Ewing, you know, the Pam's dream thing on Dallas, but you know, different, you know, because she forgot the whole year that was about, so Dallas went back a year, where Battlestar Galactica went forward a year. But I mean,
yeah.
I think it's I've emailed Katie and Aaron Douglas. I told them both. I mean, this rebooted the series, and it's like starting a show over again. Well, now when they start season three, we'll be getting to know these characters all over again.
Yeah, you know? I mean, if you really think about it, you look at the character relationships that had took place, and they really stripped everybody down. I mean, they took Lee away from Kara. They completely rebuilt the relationship with Tyrol. They essentially took Number 6 away from Gaius. You know, they essentially split up Ty and Adama now. They've split up Laura and Adama. They split up Sharon and Hilo. I mean, so everybody is essentially starting from scratch. And,
yeah.
I mean, you have a couple of new relationships in play, like Lee and Duala and stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, you're right. It's a serious reboot for the entire series. It's kind of a breath of fresh air, I think. I mean, they did it in a way that was completely unexpected to me, and it really just kind of reinvigorated the whole craze, I think.
As I said, I thought, you know, it was outstanding where they left it hanging for next season, and then now at the beginning of the episode, what do you think of all that action down on Caprica?
I thought it was good. I mean, I think it had a little bit of a convenience feel about it, just because the Cylons sort of decide to pull out, you know, the moment that they're going to retrieve all of these people. The whole sequence where Cavill kind of talks about it with Adama and Laura in the brig there, I kind of mentioned in my write-up there that it has kind of a feel of The Matrix when Neo goes and meets the architect, where, you know, a lot is really said. Cavill kind of covers a lot of ground about why the Cylons are going to leave the humans alone and give them a reprieve. You know, he babbles on a little bit about the differences between the two and how they want to become the best machines in the universe and all these various things. It kind of creates a very confusing environment, and I don't know, it leaves a lot hanging. There's a lot unexplained about the real motivations behind why they let them get off of Caprica in order for Cavill to get back, you know, to deliver that message. So on the one hand, you have Cavill saying, well, we left the planet because, you know, we're changing directions. But then at the same time, well, the reason they left him alone is so he could get back and deliver this message. So, you know, there's not everything is in play yet. There's still a lot to be discovered from for next season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was odd. I was wondering, you know, why didn't they wipe him all out on Caprica? And why, you know, a lot of questions. Why did they let him leave the planet? And, you know, why did it take them a year? You know, they explain that at the end, that they're a light year away, and they found the radiation signature of a nuclear detonation. But, you know, I mean, where were they for the year? You know, that's going to open up the whole new storylines for next year, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think everyone kind of has their suspicions. You know, there's been some great comments posted to my specific entry from various people have, you know, theories about where it's going to go next. I'm really leaning right now to this concept that, you know, from what we saw in the episode Downloaded with the war heroes sort of forming this new faction within the Cylon, the Cylon population, I really think we're going to see that there's actually two forces at play here. You know, one side is going to have Deanna Beers, sort of, you know, the Deanna Beers Cylon character sort of running the show as still sort of on the hard, you know, sort of fundamentalist spiritual path of, you know, of fulfilling the destiny of eradicating the humans. And then on the other side, you know, we'll probably see that there's more of a caretaker aspect to the Cylons or something coming into play there where they actually, you know, it looks like they're there to take them over, but I don't know if that's going to essentially be the case.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot left unsaid, and it just seems kind of convenient to me that, you know, at the end of the episode we had Baltar being greeted by all the Cylons that we knew, you know, essentially the softer models. You know, we didn't see Simon, we didn't see the Deanna Beers characters,
no.
You know, and they're generally the harder characters anyway, so I think there might be some factionalization going on between the different models, and that whole type of a situation would make for a very complicated and interesting writing environment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could be the I don't know, you call them the nicer Cylons or whatever, that they came in ahead of the more hard-nosed Cylons in order to get them to surrender versus getting slaughtered by the hard-nosed Cylons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I mean, I'm just throwing out theories,
yeah.
But anything's possible. I mean, there is that whole kind of weird scene where you have the Leobon model Cylon sort of come into the room and ask Anders, you know, where's Kara Thrace at?
Yeah,
So, you know, he just kind of makes a little appearance there, and they really don't even explain it or go into it. So there's definitely something more going on there.
Yeah, I thought that scene was pretty cool. And then the whole thing with the election and with the, you know, Ty and them trying to fix the election for Roslyn, and then of course leave it to Gaeta to open up the can of worms and find out that the election was fixed and all that, and then then as Adama gets Laura to, you know, give up the ghost, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a really great scene. And
yeah.
And it just really speaks to the quality of acting that Mary McDonnell and Edward James Olmos bring to that show. Because, I mean, it's one of those scenes that just doesn't, again, it defies your expectations. It just doesn't go down how you expect it to. You know, if that was Picard in that scene, he probably would have, you know, spouted some sort of moral, you know, reason why what she was doing was wrong. And essentially, you know, guilt her into changing her mind where, you know, the Adama character, on the other hand, is just very matter of fact. He makes his comments because he knows her, and he knows that he has trust and faith that she's going to do the right thing, and she knows it too. You know, after she admits it, she exhales. She says, you know, that's it. You know, you can almost see the pressure of leave her. You know, she knows that
it's over.
That she may have, you know, like he says, she may have lost the battle, but she'll go on fighting the war. So.
Yeah, and then, he says, he goes, we'll be criminals, maybe not indicted, but criminals nonetheless. And, you know, basically he got up on the, the righteous high horse there with Roslyn, you know. But it's like, it's amazing if you see Roslyn, how she's evolved since the show started, how she came with this hesitant leader and the school teacher and yada yada, and all of a sudden she turned into this, you know, and then she went religious, and then she turned into this real hard-nosed, you know, win-at-all-costs type of president, you know?
Well, like you say, going back to the whole concept of rebooting these characters, that's exactly what they've done to Roslyn, too. She got down this path where she got more and more hardcore. She had to make more and more moral compromises that essentially undermined her own value systems, and now, you know, she had to pursue the spiritual path, she had to pursue the anti-abortion path, she had to pursue all these angles that wasn't her, and now she's given an opportunity to just step away from it all, to really go back to who she really is. And so essentially she gets rebooted as well.
Yeah.
You know, she's still living with the whole deception of taking Hilo Insurance baby away from them, faking its death, and, you know, giving it to the character Maya, which is probably going to come back to haunt her, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think she definitely, like everyone else, has gotten a really good reboot, and it's going to be interesting to see where the writers take that.
Yeah, and then, somebody else in the chat room said something. Let me see here. Darth Marley was saying that to jump forward and yet return to the same dilemma as at the end of the miniseries. Basically, they went forward, but they were right back where they started. You know, they're down on some planet with the Cylons all over them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if we know, I don't know if we know what their situation is. We don't know if it's a running situation. We don't know if it's a cooperation situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the dynamics are just a little bit different this time around, simply because it's not a chase, you know? Mm-hmm. It's almost an occupation and a resistance, so... You know, it may have more of a vibe of the Anders resistance scenes when Kara went back to Caprica than it did, you know, the tension of the first episode of 33.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be disappointed if the writers tried to recycle that. You know, I would really like them to kind of play up the different feel that this type of a situation would probably present.
Yeah, now what about a lot of turmoil is breaking out over those podcasts that Ron Moore has, that he said now, you know, he said in jest now that he's going to jump the show head 5 years in the first episode. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to listening to the podcast yet, but I hear it's caused quite a stir for a variety of
reasons. Yeah, I think he's just starting to stir up trouble. And then
his podcast has been getting crazier and crazier every single week. I mean, he's having a lot of fun with it, so that's good.
Well, he should. I mean, you know, he knows the internet will go crazy with this stuff, and that's what they like. They like stirring it up, keep the show fresh, everybody fighting over the series because everybody gets emotionally attached to this Battlestar Galactica, you know what I'm saying?
Then
his wife is showing up. Yeah, and his wife is showing up on the sci-fi board and everything. So, I mean, he also dropped another rumor, supposedly that Olmos isn't signed for season 3. But you pretty much dispelled that, right?
Well, yeah, I got a lot of emails from people linking me to the page that I posted on my blog. You know, a lot of people saying, look, it says right here on the sci-fi site that everyone's back, including Edward James Olmos. And I haven't, like I say, I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast, and I plan to do so first thing tomorrow morning on my commute.
Yeah.
But, you know, from what I understand, they were talking about how, you know, they're going to have a CGI Eddie and all these things. And it was, so, you know, I think it's just one of those things where, maybe everyone just kind of read a little bit too much into it, or I think what actually happened is someone probably posted the joke and said, oh, you know, Edward James almost not coming back, and then people who hadn't listened to the podcast or heard from a friend of a friend just kind of heard the part about him not coming back and not the part about it being a joke. So
that's
bound to happen in our, you know,
exactly
massive communication blogosphere. So.
Well, I think you know what, I think the one that's not coming back is Bodhi Olmos. I think that's the guy all mixed up. Bodhi Olmos, hot dog is bailing on the series now. I mean, yeah, way to go crazy over this. Yeah, I think he's the one that's not coming back now. And way they ended it with. Like I said, if Olmos doesn't want to come back, I'd rather see them kill the character than recast it. You know what I'm saying? And then
I think that Ron Moore is that type of a guy. They've shown that they have no problem, you know, exiting people, especially in Billy's case. I mean, like Ron Moore said in his podcast about killing off the Billy character. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the actor's name.
Paul Campbell.
Yeah. So, you know, when he said about killing him off is that they just get to a situation where if it makes sense for both parties and, you know, they felt like they were holding him back, trying to schedule him around the show while he was getting leading role deals on other shows and movies and things. So, you know, sometimes you just have to make that call. So I think in the case of any of the primary characters, I really couldn't see them recasting it. I don't think that's Ron Moore's type of
game. Yeah, and then Evelyn said if they are going to do that, I think, you know, why don't they make, I don't know, it's like this is a soap opera angle, but why don't they make Starbuck be Ty's daughter? Because they do kind of look, you see him in that scene at the end of the episode, there is some resemblance there. And then,
I don't know about that. I think there'd be a lot of hell to pay from the fan community.
Really?
That kind of a thing went down.
Those types of
tricks, you can only do so many of them, you know, I just don't know. There's so much material, and there's so much complexity between these characters already that, you know, devices like that to just introduce more relationships that really don't even need to be there, I think, is just kind of out of place.
Well, I mean, if they still want to keep a parent-child dynamic on the show, if they have to kill off Adama, they can do it by making Ty be Starbuck's father.
it's pointless to speculate though, because there's no way they're getting rid of
almost. Well, you never know. He might just get sick of doing the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hopefully around season 7.
Yeah, and then what else? And thinking back across the season now, when I'll ask Koenig Rules when he comes on, what were the strong points of the second season?
Well, I actually plan on doing a write-up about this. A reader, John Beeler, made a suggestion after the first half of season 2 to do a season 1 versus season 2 comparison. Mm-hmm. So I did that for the first half. So I plan on doing one for the second half of the season, even though there's only a few episodes of season 1 to compare it to, mm-hmm. just from a feeling and a vibe perspective. I think, it was a rocky second half of the season. The whole Pegasus storyline I thought was good, but I had made some comments that I think that it went a long ways to introduce a lot of new characters that really didn't need to be introduced and sort of distracted us from the relationship. So a lot of the people who were kind of on the forefront of the stories took a backseat while we went through the whole Pegasus routine and the resurrection ships. And I think at the end of the day, that whole storyline played itself out really good. I really like how they kept the Pegasus around. I didn't expect them to keep it. I expected them to blow it up or sacrifice it or something. So I thought that whole thing went over really, really well. Epiphanies, I thought, was kind of one of those episodes that needed to happen and therefore just wasn't as strong as it could have been. They needed to save Rosalind. They weren't going to let her die of cancer. They had to address it. Yeah. So I had kind of reconciled in myself that, I knew that whatever solution they were going to come up with was just not going to measure up to the corner that they had painted themselves into. So for that sort of a reason, I sort of forgave Epiphanies. I think out of the whole entire season 2, Black Market was the only episode I just purely did not like. And even Ron Moore in his podcast goes into why he didn't like it. So I was very happy when I listened to his podcast after watching the show and doing my write-up. I always listen to his podcast after I do my write-up. So I was very happy that he sort of had issues with it, too, because I just think it was just one of those episodes that didn't work for a variety of reasons.
Really? Yeah, I hear about that a lot. I mean, I liked it because it showed a different side to Lee, he had some characters in there that really, we didn't know who they were because they just popped up in this episode and went away, But I thought it flushed out Zarek a little bit more, too, that he's really like the, he's like the, when I had him on, I said his character's like the JR of Battlestar Galactica. You don't know what he's up to,
Yeah, well, that scene with Zarek was a really good scene. Mm-hmm. So, there were some moments there's moments in even the worst episodes that are good. And by saying Black Market's bad doesn't mean that it's, absolute wreck or anything. It's still, the sci-fi of what I consider the best sci-fi on TV right now. So, for that value alone, it was a worthwhile episode just from what it tried to do.
Yeah.
I just don't think it succeeded nearly as good as any other episode that the series has had so far.
True. Well, I think he admitted on some of his, I think on his blog, they're trying different things with the show. Some people didn't like that whole thing with Lee out there in space while the Galactica and the Pegasus beat up on the Cylons and said, 48 hours later, wherever it was, they didn't like that because they did that like two episodes in a row and they didn't like that. Well, it's not going to be perfect, because, they got 20 episodes to fill up. Not every one of them is going to be a masterpiece here,
Yeah, no, definitely. And that kind of stuff doesn't bother me at all. I appreciate definitely the way they cut the series to try and do new things. If we remember some of the stuff they did in Cobalt's Last Gleaming with storytelling and the montage sequences. That's just phenomenal stuff that you just don't see every day. So that stuff should totally be encouraged. But, Black Market was the only episode in the second half of season 2. The rest of the episodes, I actually really enjoyed. I really liked Scar. A lot of people had a problem with it.
Really?
I thought it defied my expectations because I expected Kara to pull it out and win and show how she's a hot shot in the end. And at the end of the day, the whole entire episode had a different message, one where she was finding a reason to live, not to just, throw herself out on the edge like she always does.
Exactly.
And I also like Scar because it kind of encapsulated that, the Cylons adopted different strategies, that the destruction of the resurrection ship had ramifications that sort of rippled through the show, so that they had to adopt different tactics because they didn't want to die. So, you know, I thought I really like that.
Well, how about those? You know, everybody keeps forgetting those early episodes with the with Ty in charge, running the ship and everything. I thought those are pretty, especially with the Cylons boarding the Galactica. You know, we never would have seen that in the old series. Yeah, that was out of the blue. You know.
I mean, I think the standout episodes from the first half of the season for me were definitely scattered and fragged just because of, you know, Ty being in charge and really seeing his character grow. I mean, I think those were great. And then also the, you know, Tyrol's character down on the planet, how he was coping with the situations there. You know, I thought that was a great episode. I thought the farm was a great episode.
Oh, yes.
I liked the whole situation. I thought Tara and Simon had a really good rapport. You know, they worked well and together. There was a lot of tension there. And then I really liked the introduction of the Anders character. I don't really like kind of where they've taken Anders since, you know, in the last episodes of Lay Down Your Burdens, but I did like the introduction of his character and, you know, the way they kind of framed the resistance. I thought Final Cut was an excellent episode. It was just one of those sort of, like, moments at the end where you jump off your couch and you're just like, oh my god, I can't believe that person's a Cylon. That totally, you know, got me by surprise. And
well, especially the one guy whistling the old show's theme, like it's like their national anthem or something. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that was a good deal too.
Yeah. So. Somebody said that the guy there sweeping the floor was Boxy from the original series. I haven't gotten confirmation about that. Have you?
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Probably not. But somebody in the chat room said, what do I think about that Cloud 9 getting obliterated? Huh? I forgot about that. Yes, Cloud 9 got wiped out.
Yeah, that was a pretty big moment. I don't know. I knew they were going to nuke something because, you know, you knew that the bomb had to come back after it was so diligently framed at the end of the episode. But I didn't expect them to blow up Cloud 9.
I guess on
the bright side of things for Ron Moore and company, that's one less expensive set they have to worry about, one shooting location they have to go back to. But yeah, I don't know. That definitely is going to have some ramifications because that was a pretty important vessel. It was used for a lot of things and, you know, especially for the mentality of the people, you know, I think that might have been a good reason to go down to the planet in the first place. It's one of the last vestiges of you know, nature and open space that the Cloud 9 luxury liner had was taken away from them. So who knows how that affected people's decisions.
Well, I thought they said there's a couple more luxury liners, not like Cloud 9, of course, but I think there's like one or two left, and well, we don't know how many explosion wiped those out, but somebody else said maybe Zarek was on Cloud 9 and got wiped out with the explosion, huh?
No, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about the casting for season 3 of Zarek, but
I think Charo is on that ship.
I want to see him back, so I hope that's not the case.
Yeah. I think maybe Charo is on that ship. I don't know.
Charo's back again.
But I mean, you know, it's they've done an outstanding job of the series. You know, a lot of people are upset. They're waiting until October to come back. Well, you know, let them have the time. You know, they can work on the series with, you know, a lot less, you know, at a lightning pace. They can take their time now with the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just need to settle in. I hope they really, you know, I think they're planning to really embrace where they've headed. It sounds like there's a lot of excitement from Ron Moore and just some of the interviews I've skimmed about, you know, where they're ready to go and some of the new things. I mean, it took a lot of guts, I think, to take the show where they took it. And I for one, am a lot more excited, I think, for October than I was after Kobol's Last Gleaming. You know, I think to have Adama get shot, yeah, that was a very, very shocking moment for the show, but you knew he wasn't going to die. So there was a part of you that just kind of knew that the next episode would sort of explain how Cottle's going to save him.
Yeah.
And then we would get back into, you know, we were more kind of wondering, okay, what's going to happen with Lee because he just committed treason, et cetera, et cetera. What happened with Kara because she, you know, went against Adama. So those were the questions really on our mind in this case now. You know, we are definitely interested in what happens next. I mean, we have no clue where this is going to go.
Exactly.
So there's a lot more unknowns, I think, on this cliffhanger than there was on the cliffhanger for season one. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's going to be a great season 3.
Well, Justin, or I'm sorry, Trapper, we'll let you go at the end of our time. Don't forget Doctor Who is Friday.
Alrighty.
2 hours
Thanks
of Doctor Who.
Me on, Sean.
You're welcome. Trapper Markells from BattlestarBlog.com. Thank you very much for being on.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night. And we thank him for being on. Nice little discussion there. He's good points that he brought up. Like I said, I like these standalone episodes as long as I keep the major threads going throughout the whole season. I mean, they could do that. I mean, the thing with Black Market, it was a standalone episode, but they had threads. Going through the that's the theme music. They had the threads going through, and what happened to Lee and the Black Market kind of set the stage where the character's going through the end of the season. So I enjoyed it. So we'll see. And we're looking for the ratings, and hopefully we'll get the ratings. Somebody said in the chat, I think it was Sci-Fi, that it did 2.1 million viewers, which would be like a 1.9 or something like that. So I would hope that Sci-Fi, now they got all these weeks now between now and October, that they'll re-air every single episode of the series. I think they should start with the miniseries and go through season one and season two and air them every week. That way you can get these new fans who don't have no clue what Galactica is about, they can get them to climb on board and get on with this show. It makes sense. Of course, there's DVDs out and all this stuff, but flipping through, they can watch every single episode from season one, the miniseries season one, all the way through to the end. You might garner some more viewers. That's what I think. So, but I mean, hopefully that's where it'll go. But I like the music they had in the season finale. I thought that was excellent as well. So we got to look forward to the music CD coming out. Then we got the DVDs coming out. And then supposedly there's going to be so the comic books and everything else. So, and I think now we'll be joined by Koenig Rules, a musical accompaniment for him. Maybe not. No? Was it him? I thought it was him. Oh, it was him. There we go. We are joined by Mr. Koenig Rules from Hollywood North and various other sites, right?
Yeah, I'm going nuts.
How are you doing? Now, Koenig, it's this is March 13th, 2007. Wasn't that third season a miracle? We jumped ahead a whole year now on this show. Adama's death scene was so gripping to me at the end there. Oh, my God. I was in tears when he died at the end of season three.
Oh,
I can't imagine what we're going to do in season four.
With the beard.
Still sitting here next to Khan. It's a whole year later. With the beard.
Yeah.
And seeing that kid walk around, the Cylon. Oh, they're all around Adama's bed when he died. Oh, it was so sad, wasn't it?
It was. It was a real tearjerker. And to bring Muffet back.
And the Muffet and seeing the Galactica and Pegasus, actually the ships merged together. It was incredible.
Yeah, they made it.
How did they do it?
And the ship made it.
But I think it's the Ship of Lights did that in season episode 19 of this third season. The Ship of Lights did all kinds of work, didn't it?
Even around Christmas time.
Well, that was my attempt to jump ahead a year. We'll see. We'll see if any of that comes true or not. You know? Uh-oh, watch out for the Galactica.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Oh, no.
Oh. But they got some months now. They could go get the muffler fixed now before October. You know what I'm saying? So now, what did you think? I think you and I, we both enjoyed the season finale, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. I like the fact when they're relating things to real life, like the presidential election.
Yeah,
that was good. You know,
yes.
I mean,
the hanging chads. With all the chads and everything and all that.
Oh yeah, I mean that's what makes Moore's show so good. I mean, it's not totally divorced from reality, dealing with abortion and epiphanies. I mean, he's really focusing on some hot button issues.
Yeah.
So it was good. It
now,
really was.
Now, they opened the episode on the planet. What do you think of those scenes on the planet with Koval showing up?
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew he was a Cylon, right?
Yeah.
We knew for about half a year, but I didn't know that he'd be meeting himself back on the Galactica. That was neat. That was one of the best scenes. And, you know, you don't even... they're able to do things computer-wise.
Wasn't that amazing how they...
Yeah,
they,
it is.
They talked like they're standing sitting across from each other. I thought that was amazing how they did that.
It was. Plus, the fact, too, is rumor has it that they're trying to get Dean Stockwell back for season three.
Really?
Well, though Laura said she wanted to shoot him out the airlock,
There's
still prisoners aboard the Galactica.
Oh, so they haven't shot him out the airlock yet?
No, I don't think so. I think they're gonna be back.
Really? So, so he's been in the brig on the Galactica for a year now, huh?
Right. And the Cylons are taking over the. I think he'll figure in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, when the Galactica and Pegasus go back. So.
Yeah. Now, what about how they made a lot of the characters look older? I mean, some people I saw on Sci-Fi Board were up in arms. They made Lee look like an old man with the wrinkles on his face and everything.
I think he had a little bit of a bodysuit or something.
Yeah, he's
like
not
that,
the stud
like
he was.
Glick.
Yeah. Or he's eating. It must be eating pretty well on the Pegasus then or something, you know. So much for a shortage of food. But we do know that he's been sitting on a bunch of antibiotics on the ship.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But it seems like he's really pissed at Kara for
something.
Marrying.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, I mean, it's sort of like he wants Dee, but he also wants Kara too. Jeez, how fickle can you be, you know? Well. Plus, he wants to be commander of the Pegasus, and he is.
Who's
so
he think
wants
he is?
Everything, you know?
Who's he? And he tells us, screaming on the phone to his father, "We gotta get out of here now," you know?
Right, right. But they'll be back.
Yeah.
They'll be back. And Ron Moore said at the most 4 to 5 episodes on New Caprica. And that's it. Hmm. It's not going to be dragging out
no.
the whole season.
So I wonder if we'll see now. You know, we know. You know, Omos was in the first three episodes. Now are they going to have something like this happen in the third season? Where we won't see Omos for like 3 or 4 episodes in?
I think they're going to have Omos in every episode.
Really?
I really think that they've learned a lot from mm-hmm. season 2. They realized that 20 episodes are a lot harder to
yeah.
make. Than 13, and that's why you had some that weren't so good in the second half, mm-hmm. and that what they're trying to do, I mean, on one of the interviews, they said the first 8 episodes, they really have a hefty budget planned for
them. Really?
So, yeah, they're going to try to do all the stops so that there's a guarantee of a season 4, so they're really going to try to do some new things.
Really? Now, what do you think about the pacing of that episode? It's 90 minutes. We're not used to a 90-minute Battlestar Galactica.
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. I mean, I wish it was 2 hours. I wish it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, when I watch the Stargates, and I do like the Stargates, but it's sort of like I can walk away 15, 20 minutes and go back, and nothing's really changed mm-hmm. in that show. I mean, both of them are getting so damn tired. It's good that Galactica's breaking away from the Stargate starting up in October. Mm-hmm. I know people are thinking, oh my God, you know, not starting in summer. I'd rather they take their time with these episodes. Rumor has it, possibly pairing Battlestar with Doctor Who season 2.
Now that would be smart.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Those together, and if Stargates are going to die, mm-hmm. they'll die by themselves, and they're not going to drag Battlestar
exactly.
with them.
Exactly. I said move up, cancel SG-1. Well, we know they're not going to do it because I saw that they're renewed, but move up Atlantis up to 8 o'clock slot, put in Doctor Who, and then Galactica at the end of the night.
Right.
Because all three of those shows are military. You know, I don't think mm-hmm. people want to sit through all that. Like I said that before.
Atlantis is doing terrible
really?
This year. And at one point, I think, it was surpassing Galactica in the summer ratings.
Really?
It was doing like a 2.5, 2.6, its very first 10 episodes. And it has just gone incredibly downhill. I think people are just oversaturated with Stargate.
Maybe they should send the Cylons over to Stargate Atlantis and wipe them out.
Well, I think part of the problem with Battlestar is the fact that the Stargates are pulling it down, that there's nothing new on there. And the other thing is the iTunes. I mean, Battlestar is really popular on there. People don't want to stay home on Friday night. So,
Now, get back to the episode. Now, when they went, I thought those scenes when they went back to the ship with Anders and all of them, although that was a pretty interesting scene there where she was kind of awkward about introducing Adama to Anders, huh?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple people, fans of Battlestar, that absolutely hate Kara Thrace.
Hmm.
They hate her. Hmm. They think she can't act at all.
Hmm.
I asked my wife, and she said, she's one of the only ones on the show that is able to crack up,
mm-hmm.
be herself. She's not stiff or anything like that. So taken from a woman's point of view, she thinks she's a fun type of person that at times all the other people are stiff. So I don't mind Kara. I mean, because it's not all about Kara, you know. I mean, but there are some fans of this new show that absolutely think, you know, Darth is one of them. Hi, Darth. That think that she is ruining the show and that she should be thrown out an airlock herself.
Well, I mean, you're not going to please everybody all
the
time.
I know. It's almost like it's something personal or something, because I think she's fine, you know. Her remark at the end was dynamite. Yeah. I mean, you know, we
fight them until we can't.
Right. Yeah. It was great for anyone that thinks that she's not a pivotal player. They're wrong.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
Anders, on the other hand,
you know,
he can die. That's fine.
I think he's going to. I think maybe Lee Oben will blew him away, and we didn't see it though. I think maybe he blew him away.
Richard Hatch, by the way, is going to be back. No, he did not get blown up.
Cloud Nine.
If anything, I think what some people are trying to get him to do is write now some new Battlestar Galactica story.
Well, how about the Cloud Nine getting wiped out? We were thinking the nuke was going to knock out the Pegasus. Actually,
you know, my question is, did Gina have this planned all along?
Oh.
Was she using that peace group as a cover to blow herself? Remember, she wanted to kill herself, but also I think she had it in her mind too to bring the Cylons back. Yeah. I don't think it was all coincidental.
Yeah, I think it was awesome master plan. Now, how about that scene in sickbay with the Chief and Callie? That was pretty powerful, huh? She was talking with her mouth wired and all that.
Yeah, it's still. I'm a little bit disturbed.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. I just am curious as to why the Chief went bananas. I'm willing to bet that some of the Cylons have psychic powers or something like that. They're manipulating people even in their dreams, like Laura.
Oh, yes.
Remember
in the first season? Yeah, with Lee Oben and being in the dreams and going out the airlock.
I think they've got some psychic powers, too, and they're making people doubt themselves, think they are Cylons. There's going to be a lot more about the Cylons revealed. They're going to go back to the Cylon homeworld.
Oh, really?
In fact, they're going to have a continuing arc dealing with the Cylon homeworld, and I think that's where Lucy Lawless is going to be dominant, because she's, you know, one of the pure Cylons who hasn't been infected by the humans, so you're going to see a lot of friction between her and some of the sixes and eights.
Really?
Yeah, that's going to be a plan for season
question
three.
For you from the chat room from WPB. KR, what about the speech by Tyrell at the end of the episode?
That was strange. You know,
Union, he's a shop steward now.
That was interesting. But by the same token, it made sense, too, because he was a bit of a leader, you know, in the flight deck. So, I mean, why not be a leader of the people down on the planet, too? So.
Well, it's been a year, so we don't know what led up to him to be doing that. And then same thing with, you know, Callie's pregnant. I mean, that was out of the blue, huh?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Whether the Chief and her are married. But my guess would be, seeing he comes from a religious group, that they probably are married.
Yeah. And then what else happened on that show? And then we had the whole thing with Baltar. I mean, he stole the whole episode, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it great? It was like one of the first season stories.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was pivotal in the first season, and even at the beginning of the second, and then it's sort of like his story just dropped out, but he comes back even in Downloaded, he was there in Six's mind. So he comes back in a big way. So I was glad.
Scully Girl's got a question for you. So you think that the Cylons really are regretting what they've done?
Some are, some aren't. I think part of what we're going to see next year is the fact that not every Cylon agrees with the Cylon plan. And this Cylon plan might be peace with a little bit of force, and I think Lucy Lawless doesn't even want to go with this at all. So I think we're going to see a lot of friction in the Cylon ranks that not all of them are going to be on the same page.
Yeah, and then what else happened? They had the and then the election that we mentioned that with the Trapper in the first half. That was, I mean, also with you, it was like Bush-esque. There was trying to steal the election and all that.
Yeah, and then, it seems like Laura's not so clean anymore. Adama seems to be
he's the righteous
the man. Only one that is really. And perhaps, not Lee.
I mean,
with Black Market, it seems like Adama is the only one that really has this strong moral compass. Laura Roslin, I mean, it was just.
Well, I don't know about Adama, because remember he had Sosinus tossed in the clink there over that whole thing with Chief and Sharon, where really the Chief should have taken the fall for.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and the other thing that I didn't understand that. Hasn't been chatted at all. What about Ty and what he did to taint the election?
Oh yeah.
I mean, and he's talking to Ty then at a later point. He's not been removed of rank or anything like that. I mean, you're right. He's able to look the other way.
Exactly. When it's convenient for him. And when he needs Tyrol, like you said, to keep his planes flying. I need you to keep my planes flying.
Right. So I guess that's probably part of the thing about Galactica, that you really don't have a really good type of individual, clean-cut type of individual, as opposed to the old show where you had the good guys, and you had the bad guys, and they were different from night as day.
Yeah, there was no gray area in the old show. Actually, WPB is asking, there are at least 100 theories how they rescue the people on the planet. What's your theory, how they get the Galactica and the Pegasus get those people off the planet?
Oh, probably matter transporters.
I don't know. I think the one of the Battlestars is going to be used as a decoy or something. I think that's how the Pegasus is going to get wiped out. Huh?
That could be, but I also think, too, when you saw Bautar in 6 and they recognized each other, she looked almost sad.
Yeah.
She I have a feeling that the 6 and the Boomer are going to sort of break away from this other crowd that wants them to be an Occupy type of camp. So I think there's going to be some dissension from among the ranks, and they're going to help out some of the humans.
Yeah, and Scully Girl was saying she thought it was great that Ty actually helped fix the election for Roslin, whereas he had kept her in jail when the season began, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that means that character is maturing, we think.
He is, except he's not been given that many lines. About all I see him do is look up at a screen.
Yeah.
He's got his mouth open. He looks concerned. I mean, but I did like him on the planet with his wife. That was cool.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a key player in this deal on the planet, I think. I don't know.
Think the Chief will, too. I mean, when Aaron was on, you got the idea that they've cut out Aaron's part a lot, but he really had a big part in this season finale.
Oh, yeah, he was a major player.
I know.
Now, how about Hilo being on the ship with Adama as the new Gaeta?
Yeah, I don't know about Hilo.
You don't like him?
No. I don't know. I mean, Hilo can they can blast him out of an airline. I mean, he's okay.
He stayed on the ship to be. I imagine the Sharon's still locked up on the Galactica. I think that's why he stayed there. And
there's a lot of Cylons locked up, aren't they?
And how about Gaeta being Baltar's number two or whatever it is, being his Billy.
Yeah. Well, there's still some talk around that Gaeta might be another Cylon.
Really? Yeah. You don't think they'll reveal that Adama actually has him there as the spy for him on Bautar, do you think? Maybe he put him there?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think Adama still doesn't trust Bautar.
Yeah. Well, and then what else happened in that episode? I watched it like 6 times since it's been on. I watched it Friday twice, and I taped it and watched it then, and I watched it on Monday again.
and I keep watching the last 20 minutes because that really is good. know.
Yeah, that whole thing is incredible. And how he comes in. The way they did it, though, they had he put his head down and he came up.
It was all a dream, right?
Yeah, it was. Everybody said, "Oh, it's a dream," like Dallas. You know, and
then the
Colonial Ones down on the planet, and the way they did it was incredible. And they're living in like MASH tents, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
then at least we know Doc Cottle's still around because he
yeah.
shows up.
Yeah, he's great.
And then the whole thing with Anders playing Pyramid, and then he's got pneumonia. So
right.
Bobby was saying that he might be a Cylon. I don't know.
I don't think so. He's too dumb to be a Cylon.
Yeah. How about Kara with the long hair, huh?
That was good. That was good. I like her. I mean, that certain people don't, but I like her. I think she adds a lot. If there's anyone that needs to loosen up a little bit more, and I still think it's Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they try to flesh out his character, but sometimes he's just a mess of contradictions. He's a little bit uptight, and you don't know whether he's going to destroy the Pegasus inadvertently. You really don't know what's going to happen with Lee in the next year, and I hope they develop his character more.
True, I think they will. I mean, I think they'll have him be the one of the main. I think almost will be there, but I think actually Lee will be one to be leading the rescue on the planet.
And I hope they keep the Pegasus around for a while.
Well, yeah, some people are surmising that when they get them all back up into space, they'll have them break up the fleet and have the Pegasus go one way and the Galactica go the other. And, good luck whoever gets to Earth first, you know what I'm saying?
So then, in other words, Lee may not be part of the show anymore?
Maybe they'll give him a spinoff.
Yeah, or they could, I guess, have two stories going simultaneously.
That could be it.
I mean, when you move away from the Galactica, you can then focus on the Pegasus, or you could do some standalone stories with the Pegasus.
Huh.
I mean,
if they're going to do anything, if they're going to have a spinoff, they can't wait 9 years like they did with the SG-1. They got to do it now, and a smart way to do it would be divide up the fleet and have them go their separate ways.
Right.
And then they got D on there with they got enough. I don't know who else they can throw on there, but I mean they'll have to flesh out some new characters. But
I'd sure like to know how it did in the ratings.
Yeah, nobody seems to know. I would imagine, I don't know, I'd say about...
Maybe two.
You think so? You think that high?
Well, it was on for an hour and a half.
Really?
So, I think people would want to stick it out to see what's going on at the end,
Yeah.
I know it's been doing, averaging about a 1.8, 1.9. Mm. Downloaded got a 1.8. It was up... from 1.7.
Yeah. Like I said, if sci-fi is thinking that they should, after the Doctor Who thing is over, they should start airing every episode of Battlestar from the beginning all the way to the end of the second season. That way, you get the newcomers in space to jump on and get to know the series.
Yep.
And that's what I think. And then re-air the lowdown every week before the episode starts. It gives them an idea of what's going on. And then now we only got a few minutes left. Now, what about the Fridays, the big Doctor Who season premiere?
Yes, Doctor Who.
Yes.
In fact, two episodes back-to-back, Rose and the End of the World. It's cool. It really is. When I first saw the first two episodes, I figured, this isn't like the old Doctor Who, but I saw him again tonight, and boy, I mean, Rose, the first episode, while it might be weak on plot, it's got a lot of action. I mean, for those who don't know anything about the Doctor, you play catch-up really well because everything is really taken from Rose's point of view, her perspective. And so you don't know who the Doctor is. She doesn't know who the Doctor is, how he travels. So you play catch-up really fast. And I think one of the attractions of this Doctor is that it really focuses on the assistant just as much as the Doctor.
I see Scully Girl's asking, didn't this Doctor Who not do good? I don't know. He said it's lit up the ratings in the UK, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did great. In fact, the reason he decided to leave was it wasn't just typecasting. He was worn out.
Mm.
He did a lot of his own stunts. And if you see this guy in the 13 episodes, it's like he's manic. He's
really
moving all over the place. It's the Doctor and Rose, and then all the rest of the characters are just secondary. So it's hard to do something like that when you have two central characters to pull a show along, and it works.
Yeah,
really well.
Well, I mean, any word how the new this new Doctor Who in the second season is doing?
Well, all I know is they had a Christmas special with the new Doctor to sort of introduce him to audiences, and people who have seen that episode have said he's very good. I mean, he's not like Tennant's not like Eccleston, but my guess is it's going to be the same high production values, and they're going to go with the same basic type of characterization. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be good. I really enjoyed it, and I really think for 13 weeks it's a really nice substitute for Battlestar.
Yeah.
It does get into some deep and heavy things, so not all of it is happy, you know. By the middle of the season,
yeah,
you got there's some tear-jerking episodes. There's some episodes like that. There's a two-parter that reminds me just like the Cylons.
True. Now, actually, a question I had before you came on, or asking, going back to Galactica, what was the reason why they're pushing it back to premiere till October? Well,
okay, there's a lot of reasons. One is, they want to do original programming all 52 weeks in the year. And right now, what they're doing is, they're only doing about maybe a little bit under half a year, because it's 10 episodes, then a hiatus of about 3 months, then another 10 episodes. And so they want continual type of programming now. I think they've also gotten a little bit of negative feedback from the fans too, that have said that we don't like these episodes, especially this arc-laden show like Galactica,
mm-hmm,
cut like this. We want to see all of them simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So by doing this, delaying it to October, we're going to see all 20 episodes.
Yeah, Sci-Fi said that on there somewhere, that they'll air all 20 episodes in a row.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll play a lot better. Some people are thinking, ooh, July, oh, it would do better in the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to compete against. But then you got to, USA's got those shows like Monk and stuff like that. CBS and NBC are doing counter programming in summer. I think October is a great time, really, because you start showing the new series in September. Immediately, shows are going to be canceled by October. And so people are going to then tune in to Sci-Fi, and they're going to realize, oh, after the Stargates are off, wow, we got a new show now, Battlestar, to tune in. So
yeah.
I think it's not going to hurt the ratings. If anything, it's going to probably help the ratings.
Yeah, what does this do with the Stargates? Are they going to still have the split seasons, or
yep,
what?
They're going to have a split season. They're going to start up in July again, and they're going to put some other new shows. I think one is like this village or something like that, and Strange Goings On in the Village. And they're going to have that on at 9 o'clock. It may not do well, but they're going to try to do some other type of programming.
I don't understand. They should just take my idea, I won't charge them for it, and re-air every single episode, like maybe every Saturday or every Sunday or something, re-air it at night.
I agree. And I think either a Saturday or a Sunday night, or even a Monday night, would be a good idea. So, but they're not getting rid of this show.
No.
I mean, contrary to what people are saying on the boards and stuff like that, this is the death kiss for the show. No, and I think probably by end of December, there will probably be a commitment to go with a season four. So,
yeah. WPB is asking if they should move Battlestar Galactica, or should SG-1 move. We already said that. We think SG-1 should get out of the way.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
And put Doctor Who in front of Galactica, and then have, if they keep Atlantis, have Atlantis Battlestar or Atlantis, Doctor Who, and Battlestar. You know what? I meant to mention this to you. The guy who plays Captain Black on Doctor Who, he's from Illinois. He's from Joliet.
Yes.
John Barrowman. He was.
Yes.
He's.
Maybe you can get him. No, you probably can't because he's filming now.
He's in
right?
the UK. Yeah. And then I was looking at his bio. He's the one that did that Central Park West series with Muriel Hemingway years ago. It was like trying to catch lightning in a bottle, like Dallas, but. So, well, anyway, Koenig, we're at the end of our program. We'll let you go.
Okay.
Thank you for being on. We'll talk to you next week with Doctor Who Review.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Bye. And that was Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica season finale review, Doctor Who Review, and New Zoo Review, I think he had asked. But anyway, outstanding season for everybody involved with the series. We can't wait to see what happens come the fall in October. And then